A broadcast service of City College and the San Diego Community College District. This is Jazz FM 88.3 KSDS San Diego. I'm Dave Drexler with Inside Art. Support for Inside Art comes from the members of San Diego's Jazz 88.3. This week on Inside Art, we'll meet local singer and actor Devlin, who brings her New York cabaret show Wild Women to Point Loma Playhouse. But first, we welcome the City of San Diego's new Poet Laureate for 2023-24, Jason Magabo Perez. The Poet Laureate serves as an ambassador for the arts, advocating for poetry, spoken word, and literary arts on behalf of the city, plus creating original works aimed at broadening poetry audiences, inspiring critical thinking, and cultivating community connections. Perez's work blends poetry, prose, performance, film, video, ethnography, and oral history to explore Filipino-American histories, colonialism, state violence, migration, memory, and intimacy. His books include the 2016 collection Phenomenology of Superhero, 2017's This Is for the Mostless, and the forthcoming release I Ask About What Falls Away. Perez is a community arts fellow at the Belozen Center for Filipino Studies, associate editor of Ethnic Studies Review, and a professor and director of Ethnic Studies at Cal State San Marcos. Jason, congratulations on your appointment as San Diego Poet Laureate, and welcome to Inside Art.
Thank you so much, David. I'm happy to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
I want to find out what led to this appointment, and maybe we can start all the way to the very beginning of your career as a writer. What were some of the great influences on you as you were first getting interested in writing?
Yeah, you know, I had always been interested, even as a child, in writing stories, but I was never a great English student. English is my first spoken language, but in the home, my parents spoke primarily a Filipino language called Ilocano, and they also spoke, my mother also spoke Tagalog. I heard a lot of Spanish growing up here in Southern California, a particular barrio or border Spanish. And so I heard a lot of different kinds of languages. And I think that being able to draw on those influences felt empowering for me to start sort of thinking about my world with respect to the ways that the people of my world were making sense of our community, of our experiences. And so I started becoming a serious writer, I guess you can say, when I got to college. I was an undergraduate student at UCSD, and there was a moment when I remember being introduced to this idea of poetry on the stage, or what was being called spoken word, and just sort of seeing that as an outlet, especially for students of color, activists, student activists, as an outlet to process our feelings and our ideas about society, our ideas about power, and our ideas about empowering our communities. I felt it was something that I wanted to try out. I had always been a devout follower of hip hop music. And I think that, you know, that sort of lyricism has always sort of been with me, right? I think that the, you know, various kinds of rap music and hip hop music were influential in me sort of thinking about lyrics and things like that. But I didn't understand it necessarily as poetry until I came across spoken word, until I embarked on a self-study and a community building endeavor and working with folks and really just getting into language and starting to redevelop my relationship to language. And at UCSD, we formed a group called the Freedom Writers Spoken Word Collective, not the Freedom Writers from Long Beach, but we didn't know who those folks were. But we got together and performed at protests. We performed at different shows, different cultural events, different activist events, and things like that. There were a whole eight of us, actually. And it was just an opportunity for us to sort of come to our voice and understand it and really cultivate it collectively and think through, again, you know, what this thing called poetry can be for us as in our communities.
It sounds like it was a real performative element that you were first attracted to poetry with, as much as the writing of it itself, you know, the physical notation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that when I started out, I think, you know, I certainly would write things down, memorize it. I mean, that was the practice, right? That's what folks were doing. That's the poets who were really inspiring to us were the folks who could perform and deliver these poems, right? And I think I came back to the page and came back to sort of thinking about, you know, what it means to produce written literature, right? Maybe a little bit more seriously toward the end of my college career. And that's how I ended up deciding to pursue an MFA in creative writing, where I think a lot of the performance elements of my work were ultimately, they were neglected in many ways, right? There wasn't a space to get the kind of feedback that I needed to grow as a writer in terms of me being a writer for performance. And so I sort of sat with my cohort and, you know, my classmates to really think about different forms of writing that I might be able to explore while I had my time during my 2-year MFA program.
So what were some of the subjects you were really drawn to? What kind of has spoken to you over the years in particular?
Yeah, so I certainly, the notion of language, just sort of broadly, but in particular, the ways in which power and language operate or interoperate, I guess you could say. And so I'm really, really interested in sort of how we come to the kinds of ways we communicate ourselves or what's inside of us or how we reflect and who we're reflecting to. Right, to whom we're reflecting. And so I think that just thinking about the politics of language, and by that I'm thinking about all the ways in which all these other structures of power really impact and shape or figure into, you know, our language, right? And the language that we use, right? And the way that we use this very thing called the English language, right? That has class implications, racial implications, gendered implications, right? And so I just started really thinking about that and thinking about very deeply the relationship between storytelling and power and again, on the other side of that, right, storytelling and structures of power, but also storytelling and empowerment. So I've been really interested in really interrogating that and thinking about how history is told, thinking about how poems are written, right? And I think thinking about my own history, my own community's history, my own family's history as both my parents are immigrants from the Philippines, right? Just thinking about that colonial history between the U.S. and the Philippines and the introduction of the English language to Filipinos, which is a very violent colonial introduction, right? And so just navigating those complexities and trying to think about how that generates a kind of nuance of how we find ourselves in this language that was used to as an extension of power and violence, right? And I think that's really, really fascinating. And so I think those are some of the things that I've been thinking to, so much so that I ended up going back to school after a number of years after my MFA to get my PhD in ethnic studies, precisely to interrogate the ways that history is written and the ways that language is used to by communities, but also by institutions to try to make sense of how we relate to one another.
We're with Jason Magabo Perez, who's the City of San Diego's new Poet Laureate for 2023 and 2024. What do you hope to do in this new position for the City of San Diego?
Well, I hope to, you know, carry the good work that the previous Poet Laureate, Ron Salisbury, was able to do. He was able to do that through the pandemic, right? Not as if we're out of this pandemic, but through the beginning of that pandemic, and while most things were remote, he was able to still build community and push forward poetry, right, as an available option for folks for self-expression, for community expression, and for empowerment. So I hope to continue that work and build upon that work. I'm really interested in thinking about where poetry exists, right? Of course, there's a performance element. Of course, there's publishing, right? But I'm also thinking about poetry's interaction with visual arts or media arts, so poetry's interaction with installation and things like that. So on an aesthetic side, just really trying to open up folks' our community's understanding of poetry, but also trying to build community through poetic space, right, or poetry spaces, right, and whether that's doing workshops with youth, workshops with high school youth, or doing workshops with other organizations or collectives or groups who are doing good work for our communities. I'm hoping to link up with them and really hear what the need is, right? I'm not under any assumption that, you know, poetry is going to be relevant and useful for everybody, but I'm open to sharing whatever tools I can that I've gathered over the years, and sharing that as an option for, you know, thinking through, you know, one's experience and thinking through how they want to articulate themselves to the world.
As Poet Laureate, I guess part of the responsibilities, and as they are to lend thought to a given occasion on behalf of the city or for the city.
Correct. Yes,
that is a fascinating challenge, I think, in a place that is so diverse and so spread out. What are some of your observations in your tenure as a San Diegan that you may be able to bring in, just looking at the population and communities of San Diego?
I love San Diego for that very reason. And so I've lived in a few different parts of San Diego and spent a lot of time in other parts of San Diego. You know, I'm a longtime resident of San Diego through a few different stretches of my life. I actually grew up in Oceanside. And for a lot of us, I can confidently say, for a lot of us, San Diego goes from Oceanside to the border,
yeah,
right? Or maybe even beyond the border, right? But you know, this position is a city appointment, and I have a lot of love for this city. I've lived in Mira Mesa for a number of years, two different times. I lived in City Heights, lived in Sierra Mesa, and I'm back in Claremont Mesa, right? So just, you know, the different people, you know, folks with different struggles, folks really out here making a life and really navigating a lot of complexity. I mean, we're a border town, we're a military town, and those histories overlap, right? Certainly, we give respect to the indigenous folks here, the Kumeyaay people, and that we are visitors here on their land, right? And so really navigating all of those complexities, I think, is really exciting for me, right, as Poet Laureate, because I'm hoping that we can build these relationships, not just amongst poets, but amongst folks who may have played with the idea of becoming a poet or may have written a poem at some point. And hopefully through poetry, we can commune and connect and really share stories with one another from our different neighborhoods, from our different regions, from Barrio Logan to Linda Vista, to, as I said, I left a part of my heart in Mira Mesa, Claremont, right? These, of course, I'm not going to name every neighborhood, but all the neighborhoods I hope to connect with in some way. Because I think that there's so much history here. There's so much, just a lot of beautiful people and beautiful communities. And just to quote the MC Talib Kweli of Black Star, in the beautiful struggle, you know, and really honoring those folks with and treating them with dignity and respect, and hoping to find their stories with them, right?
Well, Jason, are there any projects in particular that you have in mind as the City of San Diego's new Poet Laureate?
Yeah, part of the responsibility is to come up with a major community engagement project based on poetry, right? A way to engage the community. And I think I came to poetry, I came to community first, and then I came to poetry. So I'm always interested in collaborating with community. And so three projects that I'm working on. One project I'm hoping to launch in April at the Central Library, where it'll be what I'm tentatively calling a participatory poetry making lab. And it'll just be a little card catalog and a curation of various poetry books. And I just want folks to engage with poetry and read poetry or offer up poetic lines, put them in the catalog. And then from time to time, I'll come through, hold a workshop, and we'll make poetry out of those fragments that people contribute. Another project that I'm hoping to do maybe over the summer when it's not so cold in San Diego is to get on the trolley with folks and just document San Diego. Just give a journal to everybody, or everybody brings their journals. We go to different points, different trolley stops, and sort of walk around and just gather sensory details. And then that hopefully can culminate in like a workshop where we develop work and really think about San Diego together and collectively. And hopefully maybe that'll become a book. That would be really exciting. And then another project that I'm hoping to do is to reach out to youth and introduce poetry to high school classrooms, specifically within ethnic studies classroom, as that has been a requirement for a couple years in the San Diego Unified School District. As I'm an ethnic studies professor, and ethnic studies, social justice, and poetry have always gone hand in hand. So being able to work with youth and invite them to sort of think about ethnic studies and these different kinds of their various and beautiful histories through the art of poetry.
So as we close our conversation here, would you be able to give us a little bit of a sense of your poetic voice with a little sample of your work?
Sure. So I'm going to read an excerpt from a forthcoming book called I Ask About What Falls Away. I wrote this, started writing this right at the beginning of the pandemic. We were sort of stuck in the apartments over there off of University and 49th. And this forthcoming book is sort of revealing itself to me as a long book-length poem. And this is just an excerpt from it. That describes the alley behind our living room. Drive east on University toward 49th. Park your Civic in the alley out back. This alley will be splendor and solitude, a gallery of rain-soaked box springs. A child will slide down a half-assembled red plastic slide into a small hill of middle-grade paperbacks. You'll find a gold purse filled with fresh broccoli and rubber gloves. You'll find prayer at daybreak. This alley will smell of dank weed and brake dust. You'll find on the ground a black tote bag stuffed with wet lettuce and white surgical masks. It'll seem like this was dropped in a hurry. You'll wonder if that person is okay. You'll notice a wire fence across the alley that will limp as the days go by. A swarm of flies will hover above the dumpster. Crows will cross the alley. Someone will be having a barbecue. On sunny days, dried lemon rinds will stick hard to the pavement. One day, there will be cleaned chicken bone wrapped in foil in front of your Civic. Neighbors on the other end will be hosting a party. You'll hear bottles clanking. Patrol cars will cram the alley just because. It'll smell like burnt plastic and cigarette smoke. There will be an after party for afterlives. An elder neighbor will warn you of drugs and the devil's work. A group of youth will hotbox an old pathfinder. On the rainiest days, the alley will be a shallow river. Weeds, shreds of paper, crow feathers, and lemon rinds rushing downstream. Someone will break into your Civic. Someone will break into your Civic again. They will steal neither your surplus of Starbucks napkins nor your prized Blackstreet CDs. They will jack some old prescription eyeglasses. Yes, and there'll be the homie. Quiet, please. The homie will be sound asleep on that perfectly fine but discarded wooden dining chair. When you see the homie, please leave masks. Please leave bottled water. Please leave bags of ice. Please leave a hot burrito. And please leave two toothbrushes, one for homie's teeth and one for homie's Jordans. Place everything in plastic bags, then hang the bags gently on the handlebars of homie's BMX.
Jason Magabo Perez, the City of San Diego's new Poet Laureate, who's been our guest on this segment of Inside Art. Well, now we know why you're the Poet Laureate. That was brilliant. Thank you very much for joining us on this
segment. I appreciate you, David.
I hope to talk to you again during your tenure here.
Thank you, David. I appreciate you. Thank you for inviting me to share.
To learn more about the San Diego Poet Laureate Initiative and related programming, you can visit the City of San Diego Commission for Arts and Culture at sandiego.gov/arts-culture. Coming up, we'll meet a longtime San Diego area singer and actor who brings her New York cabaret show Wild Women to Point Loma Playhouse. Devlin joins us next as Inside Art continues here on San Diego's Jazz 88.3. Funding for Inside Art comes from the members of Jazz 88.3. And right now, during our spring membership campaign, your support is more important than ever. Your contribution to the station allows Inside Art and all of the other shows you enjoy each day to remain a vital source of jazz and arts programming in our community. Join us right now with your contribution at any level. We have a variety of great thank you gifts to choose from, and you'll know you're helping KSDS continue to bring you the music and programs you love to all of San Diego and listeners around the world. Go online right now to our website at jazz88.org and click on Donate Now. And thanks.